Welcome to The Big Why, a series from Montana Public Radio where we find out what we can discover together. I'm your host, Austin Amestoy. This is a show about listener-powered reporting. We'll answer questions, large or small, about anything under the big sky. By Montanans for Montana, this is The Big Why. Today, we're returning to the question about state and local efforts on climate change. And joining me with more is MTPR reporter Ellis Julin. Hey, Ellis.
Hey, Austin. I'm glad to be back. This is part three of our Big Why series, fueled by a question from Houston-based listener Cassandra Reidig.
I heard a lot of hype, but I haven't seen a lot of action.
About climate change in Montana. Reidig told me she wants to know what's being done to address climate change. So we set out to answer that over the course of three Big Why episodes. The first discussed what the state is doing, and the second asked that same question of tribal nations and cities.
And the third?
Now we're tackling our final part of this question. What are individuals across Montana doing about climate change?
You know, I've got a feeling we could spend a whole season of The Big Why answering that question.
I've been thinking the same thing. So for this episode, imagine that we're going to take an audio road trip. We'll go to three parts of the state and hear three stories about people looking for solutions to climate change in their own lives, but approaching it pretty differently.
The car's gassed up. I've got the snacks. Ellis, where's the first stop?
We're headed to Red Lodge to meet two doctors who spent their careers on the Crow Reservation.
Hi, I'm Lori Byron.
I'm Rob Byron.
Rob and Lori are husband and wife. The Byrons told me they realized what they were doing to treat people in the exam room didn't matter if they didn't address the source of some of those health issues, things like more exposure to heat and poor air quality.
When I started practice in the late 80s in Montana, we would talk to people with heart disease or lung disease about if there was a big forest fire. But as time went on, I had to start doing that sooner and much more often and involving a lot more people.
So the Byrons noticed a problem. How'd they decide to act on it?
They started by working on education, drawing on their scientific backgrounds to teach politicians, environmental regulators, and other healthcare workers about how climate change affects people's health. And 5 years ago, they created Montana Health Professionals for a Healthy Climate.
We have about 1,200 people that are signed on with us. Most of them are healthcare providers or healthcare researchers. We work to motivate them to speak out on climate, to sign petitions, sometimes to educate in legislature.
Through organizing bike rides, conferences, flying different colored flags to let people know what the air quality is in a given area, they've been all about raising awareness.
So the organization started in 2019. How's that work going 5 years on?
Well, the Byrons told me that creating their organization and expanding their network has made them and others feel a lot more hopeful about making a difference.
It does give a sense of camaraderie, and it does give a sense of hope that there are things that are happening.
Okay, so that's climate action through the lens of public health education. Ellis, where to next on the road trip?
Now we're heading west to Missoula to meet Winona Bateman.
I have a 10-year-old daughter. And I became concerned about climate change in a deep way when my daughter was 4.
Bateman realized there were lots of parents and caregivers looking for help just like her.
And I think a lot of parents are a little bit paralyzed about the issue because it's not like your kid running into the street and you run and like move them out of a way of a speeding car, which is really clear like what to do. It's like literally millions of things you could do to work on the issue and get involved. And that can feel hard that you can't solve it by yourself.
That's interesting. It sounds like Bateman viewed climate change as this slow-moving disaster. How'd she decide to take action?
She figured there had to be other people that were feeling the way that she was. So she decided to create an organization focused on them, looking at parents and caretakers. And she founded Families for a Livable Climate in 2019. Bateman's group builds coalitions among nonprofits and citizen groups working to address climate change. For example, Families worked with other environmental groups this spring on a project proposal to fund energy-efficient upgrades in schools that would also reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
The more we can work together, the better shot we have at making a difference.
Bateman's organization is among those asking state utility regulators to consider climate change in their decisions, which some lawmakers have said should be left to the legislature. She says her mission is creating a community to drive systemic change.
The climate crisis is a community crisis, and it's a communications crisis. Those are the divides that we have to bridge. But what's amazing is human beings are hard-coded for community.
It really sounds like a common thread we've heard from these folks so far is the idea of coming together.
That's exactly it, Austin. That idea carries into our last story and our last stop on the trip in Livingston, where we'll hear from a former teacher at Park High School.
My name is Alicia Jungleward, and when we got to what I turned into a climate change unit, the students started being like, Miss J, why don't we have recycling at this school?
So the kids started a recycling program. That led to the creation of the Park High Green Initiative, a student environmental club. Over several years, the students fundraised to put solar panels on the school. They got federal grants for electric school buses. And this past fall, they organized, funded, and hosted the first ever Montana Youth Climate Summit.
And I loved meeting people from around the state that felt the same kind of anxiety that I do about climate.
That's Remy Sexton. She just graduated from Park High, where she did all kinds of climate work as part of the Green Initiative. But I want to zoom in to that youth climate conference. Students came together from all over the state.
But I am more connected now than ever to my community.
I'm no longer holding the future at bay because we are building a better one.
I think that the climate movement has felt very isolated for me, especially just living in a state where things are very spread out. And I think that having that kind of introduction and feeling that unity was a big impact that the Climate Summit had on me.
Sexton told me seeing this bigger picture in Montana, that she's not alone, has made her feel a lot more hopeful. She was also included in a group created by state environmental regulators to suggest changes to how Montana's Environmental Policy Act includes climate change.
Inaction is the easiest way to feel overwhelmed. Since I have been starting to feel like I'm actually making a difference and feel like I am working towards something, it has felt a lot less anxiety-inducing.
I keep hearing this sense of community and collective action.
Yeah, that is really something that came up time and time again through this reporting. Everyone I spoke with on this story found or worked with others to create change. And there are people all over the state that are calling for this kind of action. You've probably heard about one group of them that also deserves a mention here. 16 kids challenging the state's fossil fuel-friendly policies. And their case is now before the state Supreme Court.
Right, the Held versus Montana case.
Exactly. Hearings on that are beginning next month, so stay tuned for future coverage.
Ellis, this series of Climate Big Whys has truly been a joy to unpack with you. Thank you so much for all your reporting over these three episodes.
Thank you too, Austin. It's been fun to dive into it.
Now we want to know what makes you curious about Montana. This show is all about answering your questions, so send them to us at bigy.org. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts and help others find the show by sharing it and leaving us a review. Let's see what we can discover together.